This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall now deal with your documentary lesson, number 12. Peace be unto you. My beloved, in your lesson 11, I trust that you have learned a great deal. This lesson will deal with the second part of the Great Illusion. We are learning more, perhaps, than we think we are. We are, so to speak, working out our own salvation. We are working into our self-realization. You know, there are men in the world today who dwell in the high places of the earth, Mahatmas, unrecognized supermen who guide unselfishly the destiny of mankind. We cannot yet be like them, but we can do what we can do. And with the doing of the law, we grow more and more into that freedom which will lead us to the absolute. These men that I speak of have got beyond the limitations of matter. We are not yet like them, for we are all similarly begirt by necessity. Externally, they are like us. They possess a mortal frame and appear even less than do the great men of the West as far as the wealth of their human power is concerned. Yet they are more than men because they are completely free. They are only fettered because they wish to be. They do not need to die nor to be born again. Wherever they wish to be, there they are present. Whatever they turn their attention to, they know. Their consciousness may not embrace the little affairs of their own environment, but it embraces the world. They are universal in their consciousness. And my beloved, we perhaps are far from that condition, that state, but we are on our way. Let us, as we consider together our lesson number 12, feel serenely at peace. Feel that we are truly in the presence. Now let us sit comfortably. And as I speak to you, let us think. Let us think about what we have already learned. Think of your second lesson, for example, entering the gate, about your imagination and your reason and other departments of your mind. Think of your lesson 3. You remember the paragraph in the middle of the first page. Then go on to paragraphs in subsequent lessons that particularly impressed you. Now, when you're in your own private study, having taken time to look up these references in previous lessons, then sit and consider yourself for a moment as the magnet. Also consider that you are made up in your physical system of millions upon millions of cells, that you are the general in charge of many armies of cells that will work for you all the time in the way that you direct. You are the great commander in chief. That magnet is operating, obviously, upon all these atoms, eons, that compose your body every moment that you live. There is no moment out of the whole 24 hours, every day, sleeping or waking, when the magnet is not impressing its delightful image upon the physical particles of your body, the cells. Now this is just where man may triumph. Now think carefully as I speak. You may tell a horse that it is stronger than its rider for 10 years, but the horse would be no wiser. The horse has no power of imagination. Man has. Man imagines a city and he builds it. We in mental physics are doing that very thing. He imagines a railroad and he lays it. A flying machine and he makes it. A majestic opera and he performs it. This is the human factor. Now, my beloved, most of these things that man has conceived were at some time or other the impossible. Iron did not float until the imagination of man made it float. Your teacher was once 1,500 miles in the interior of China, telling the people in his caravan that they would soon come to a river where they would see iron ships floating on the river. To a man, they pooh-poohed the possibility of such a miracle. What, they cried? We have been builders of ships for many centuries, and we know that they can only float if they are made of wood. Well, we duly then came to the river, and taking them in a small Chinese wooden boat, I pulled out alongside an American gunboat and tapped the iron sides of it with a small hammer to prove to these men that iron does float. They were simply amazed. And you know, today, as we are here together, there are millions and millions of people in the world who do not know that iron will float. But every American schoolboy will tell you that it does float. Again, water had boiled for millions of years, until one day a thinker caught it in his imagination. He harnessed the power. He revolutionized the world. Now you see, the forces of nature are blind forces, laws. They act always in the same way. For this reason, we call them laws. But the human factor, imagination, can use nature's laws to its own advantage every time when it knows how. There is nothing that is impossible today. Why, the very word is gradually being eliminated from our dictionaries. For what can defy the transcending imagination of man made in the image? A good many years ago now, a lady walked into my school of mental physics in New York and was so deaf that I could not make myself heard in the slightest. As she could not read my writing, nor read my lips, we made little progress. I then told her that she had better get her husband and let him interpret for her. All that I could ascertain from her was that she desired to get her hearing back. She went away, bringing her husband back with her later. He told me that she had been deaf for a very long time. They had been all over the world and had spent a very great deal of money in their endeavor to get her to hear again. They asked me whether I could cure her. My reply, of course, was that I could not cure her. But I told them that I could show them the way whereby she could contact the universal power of love within herself, and that I believed that if she did what I would teach her to do, she would regain her hearing. She became a student In a very few weeks, she began to hear. Ultimately, her hearing became completely normal. And at the end of the teaching, when she was compelled to go to another part of the country, to her own home, she came to me and with tears in her eyes, saying goodbye, she said, "DMA, I came into mental physics to regain my hearing, which I have done. But I have done more than that. I have found my God." Now, my beloved, you may not have any such disability to fight as the student above quoted. You may not even believe in God. You may not have known what God is. You may not like the use of the very word. And I think I will agree with you. For that very word conjures up before me the mind pictures of a personal being, the anthropomorphic God, from which we all want to get away from. But have you found your God? Now, if you have, it was through the power of your imagination that the discovery came to you. Our imagination is the power of the Creator within us. And so we should cultivate it in the way that you are being directed in your lessons. As I said, the forces of nature are blind forces. They always act in the same way. There is nothing that is impossible. From the earliest times, man has felt the possibility of immortality, but no man has ever lived forever. Though there is evidence to show in the ancient occult schools of the world that man, that is, some men, have been able to use their power to live as long as they desire. But millions of years passed before the force in the kettle was tapped and presented to a waiting world. Astounded then, no longer astounded today. Millions of years passed before the automobile as we know it today was built and used by man. So were the airplane, so were the radio, so were the thousand other marvels of men's time, which today have been relegated into the limbo of the commonplace. Just think of the ramifications of power within television today. Now, it is for us who believe to do with immortality what man has done with the engine. Conceive its possibilities. Then turn the fire of the imagination upon it and make it a real thing. Let us live as long as we desire to live and achieve all that we desire to achieve.